Welcome to Gospel Mission Church's Message Podcast. We pray that God will meet you in this time with a fresh revelation of His love for you and that you will be challenged to align with the amazing plans that God has waiting for you. Here's this week's message from Pastor Claude.
This series of freedom, walking in freedom. So it's been a great series because I believe that we are called to walk in freedom, and I believe that we need to live in freedom, and Jesus came for freedom. Can you say that to your neighbor? Jesus came for freedom. Freedom to experience God, freedom to know God. Think about that, the maker of the universe, that we can approach Him with assurance, and He made a way, Jesus made a way for us to know God, to experience God, to be free from sin, from the bondage of sin. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, that if you are in Christ, you're a new creation, and the old is gone, and the new has come. Can you say that to your neighbor too? The new has come. It's pretty amazing, the story of grace, right? Where God just pours His grace upon us. It's so amazing. And I believe that we're called to know and understand that amazing love that God has for us and to walk in that love. And many of us, we've walked in, or we were raised in a religious setting where it was very legalistic. It was about rules and do's and don'ts. And maybe we missed out on the love of God. There's a good chance that we've missed out on the fact that God loves us and cares for us. So when we look at what the Lord has done for us, He has brought us into fellowship with the Father, and we find our identity in the Father, and then we can be sons and daughters. And I think it's so amazing that we are sinners saved by grace. And I think we always have to remember, for those that are saved, it's that we were sinners, that God came to rescue us. And I think when we do life, we need to remember that if we are where we are, it's only because of God's grace. And it started with a conviction of the Holy Spirit, where the Holy Spirit brought a conviction in our hearts that we needed to repent, where the Holy Spirit came upon us and showed us what Jesus has done, and opened our eyes up and opened our hearts up to Him and what He has done. And in John 16:8 talks about that He convicts the world of guilt in regard of sin, righteousness, and judgment. So when the Holy Spirit came into our life, when we surrender our life to Him, it was because of a conviction. He brought a conviction, showed us that we were sinners, broken, and showed us the love of God. And it's an amazing story, right? It's the good news of the love of the Father, right? Meeting this brokenness and reveal Himself to someone that doesn't deserve it. So when we look at this message of the salvation, we know it was initiated by God, and God came to knock at our door and won us over. But we also know that we needed to respond to the invitation. We had a choice of saying yes or a choice of saying no. And Romans chapter 10, verse 9 refers to that. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Christ from the dead, then you're saved. And so we understand that we need to believe, we need to trust God. And we understand it's more than just repeat a prayer after me. I remember in my teenage years, conversion happened like this, is that someone came to church and let's say, or wherever you would meet that person, it could be sometimes in the context of a hype or emotions are high, and we would say to people, repeat after me the Lord's Prayer, and they would repeat after us. And then after they repeated after us, we would say, you're saved. But we know that it has to be more than words, right? And it's great if you repeat that prayer when your heart is engaged. But if your heart is not engaged, it's just words, right? And so we understand that when it comes to conversion, there's this conviction of the Holy Spirit that came upon us, right? That showed us that we were sinners. And also there was a response of our heart to God where we saw our situation, we saw our need, we saw our brokenness, and our eyes started to see, because it's a journey of discovering how we are loved by God. But our eyes opened up to the grace and the love of God. And this is where we call salvation. This is the work of the Holy Spirit in response to our response to Him. But I believe it doesn't stop there. I really believe that God wants to do more when it comes to the conviction of the Holy Spirit and when it comes to our response to Him. Can I say this again? I really believe that God wants to move again and in multiple times in our hearts with a conviction and also our need to respond to him. I don't think it's only a salvation thing, but it's a journey that we want to live by where we let the Holy Spirit move us and speak to us and where we respond to him and take a hold of who he is. So what I'd like to talk about this morning is brokenness and anguish brings freedom. Brokenness and anguish brings freedom. Kind of different topic, right? You say, what do you mean? Brokenness and anguish brings freedom. I really believe that brokenness and anguish brought me to the Lord, where I saw my brokenness and I realized I needed help. And I believe it's also important for us when we move forward as a believer, that if we want to see breakthroughs in our lives, if we want to see breakthroughs around us, we need the same two ingredients. We need to have this ingredients that we let the Holy Spirit bring anguish, because I can't create anguish. Anguish is a heaviness of the heart. Anguish is a sorrow that you have in your bones that sometimes it even hurts. It might be caused by circumstances. It might be by, how life is challenging, from sickness to heartaches or rejection and so on. And so what we want to do when we experience brokenness, we want to turn to God. But there's this place, and this is the heart of what I want to share to you. There's this place where God meets us in our brokenness. There's a time when we are totally vulnerable before, filled with anguish, and this is where God moves and he touches us. And so we want to see that in our lives. I look at the tax collector and the Pharisee in the temple. One was filled with anguish, forgive me, Lord. And the other was filled with pride. And there's only one that came out of that house justified. It was the one that was filled with anguish, with brokenness. I look at Joel chapter 2, verse 12. It talks about the Israelites that are before a hard situation. And God invites them to embrace anguish. God wants to rescue them. God wants to be in their lives. And he says in verse 12, it's the same chapter that we find the Holy Spirit. I will pour my spirit upon all flesh. It's later on in the chapter. And we like Joel when it talks about I'll pour my spirit upon all flesh. But sometimes we forget verse 12 and 13. That I believe that precedes the filling of the Holy Spirit is when anguish and brokenness is received. In verse 12, it says, this is why the Lord says, turn to me now while there is time. Give me your hearts. Come with fasting, weeping, mourning. Don't tear your clothing in your grief, but tear your hearts instead. Return to the Lord your God, for he's merciful, compassionate, slow to get angry, and filled with unfailing love. And he is eager to relent from punish. And sometimes people say, the God of the Old Testament is a judgment God. If you believe that or you've heard this, you don't know the scriptures, because when you see the scriptures, it's always about redemption and it's always about grace. But when we look at this text, there's a need for brokenness. And God was looking for brokenness because they were in a place where they were walking in their sins. They had walked away from God, and God tells them to tear their hearts and return to the Lord. And as they return to the Lord and they tear their hearts, there's mercy, compassion, and there's unfailing love. And God moves forward and brings a path of fruitfulness. So it's important for us to realize that when it comes to the conviction of the Holy Spirit, when it comes to a response to him, it should still happen today. We're invited in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 14, not to quench the Spirit. Meaning, not to neglect or reject who he is, what he does. But we're also called to not grieve the Holy Spirit in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29, that refers to resisting his leading and transforming us and making us more and more like Jesus. So what I'm trying to say this morning is that what we need in our lives when it comes to our personal life, when it comes to our relationships, when it comes to what God wants to do in our lives, there needs to be a place where we're reached inside, where we are reached inside, where our hearts are touched, where our spirit are moved. Like, you don't want to live life in sin and not having a conviction of it. You don't want to walk in bondage in relationship and not having a conviction about it. I think one of the ingredients in life when it comes to having a life that prosper in the things of God is to have a broken heart and a broken spirit. I believe that anguish is important for freedom. Where we see our desperation for God in our life and the life of others, when I see my need of Him, is when my heart is moved, causing me to fast, weep, mourning, where I experience brokenness and godly sorrow and anguish. It's the opposite of pride. It's the contrary of humility. I was reading a few months ago a book on Andrew Murray, from Andrew Murray on holiness, the beauty of humility. It's an amazing book that talks about brokenness and the need for brokenness. And we look at the revivals that we've encountered in the 20th century and also in the 19th century, great moves of God upon our land. And I have to let you know that it was all started in anguish, in supplication, and brokenness, where the people saw their need of God and where they turned to God and they cried out to God. When we look in scriptures, there's such a place for anguish and brokenness. And if I just want to read a few verses to you that resonates that. In Psalm 34, verse 17, it says, "The Lord hears to His people when they call on Him for help. He rescues them from their troubles. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He rescues those whose spirits are crushed." Wow. So when you come before the Lord with a broken spirit, and you pour your hearts out, and sometimes you cry, you weep, and it even hurts, God responds to that. God sees that. It opens the door for God to move. Like, one of the things that God despises is pride. And what is pride? It's our independence of God and our show that we have everything all together. But humility is to acknowledge that we are in need of God, that we are nothing without God, and that we need God in every aspect of our lives. And I believe that when we have this heart, this is where God moves. Look what it said in Psalm 51, verse 16. "You do not desire a sacrifice, or I will offer one. You do not want a burnt offering." Look what he says in verse 17. "The sacrifice you desire is a broken spirit." Wow. "You will not reject a broken and repentant heart, O God." So what God is saying here, what the psalmist is saying here, is that when you come before God with transparency and that you're real, and that's what Dietrich Bonhoeffer says when it comes to repentance. Repentance is the ultimate honesty. Is when you're raw and you're real before God and you turn to God, you say, "God, rescue me." You look at your marriage and you stand in the gap and you weep over your marriage. It hurts in your bone because you want to see your marriage be restored. And you pray and you walk, you have prayer walks, you even fast because you want to see a breakthrough in your marriage. You have children that are not following the Lord, that have forsaken the Lord. And what happened is that in your heart, you have a burden for them. You start to weep and you start to cry, and it's beyond yourself. It even hurts inside. There's sometimes you're in God's presence and you're weeping, and there's this sound that comes out of your mouth that words cannot express because of your brokenness. God responds to that. God is moved when that happens. And some of us, we've done it in the past, but now we kind of drifted away and we are just trying to manage things according to what we can. But there's a need for us to embrace brokenness and embrace anguish. We look at our world, how it's broken. You look at the church, where it's broken. You look at the story of the church when it comes to same-sex marriages. When it comes to LGBTQ and all of this, like, we're the first generation that are saying, like, for all these years, for the last 4,000 years, people believe marriage from this book. The church did, forget the world, talking about the church today. For 4,000 years, we believe that marriage is between one born man and one born woman. But in our generation, we're saying, well, you know, we're progressive. We don't need this. We're going to find our own way. We're going to walk away from God. I think that should break me in the inside. That should cause me to to weep and pray and be filled with anguish for the churches of today, the church of today, of the Western church. Something needs to grab me in the inside. Something, it's not about judgment, it's about compassion. It's about brokenness. It's about a cry for God to intervene and a call for God to rescue. You look at Isaiah 57, verse 15. The high and the lofty one who lives in eternity, the Holy One says this, I live in the high and holy place with those whose spirit are contrite and humble. I restore the crushed spirit and the humble and revive the courage of those with repentant heart. And God says, I live with those that are contrite and broken and humble, crushed in spirit. And God, revive those that have a repentant heart. It's the way of how we're called to live. It's the opposite of pride. It goes contrary to the world that when we humble ourselves and we admit our brokenness and we call to God, this is where God moves. Like Andrew Murray says, here is the path of the highest life, down, lower down. Just as water always seeks and fills the lowest place. So the moment God finds man abased and empty, his glory and power flow in to exalt and to bless. What a quote. This is how God functions, right? And so we want to see God move. There's a need to surrender. There's a need to experience brokenness. In Psalm 126, verse 5, a verse that you've heard before, probably you did, it says, those who plant in tears will harvest with shouts of joy. They weep as they go to plant their seed, but they sing as they return with the harvest. And meaning that you sow in tears. You're broken. Just broken. Your heart is broken inside and you're living in anguish for what is before you. It's beyond concern. It just grips your heart. And this is what Jonathan Edwards says. When God is about to do a great work, he pours his spirit of supplication. When God is about to do a great work, he pours his spirit of supplication. What is a spirit of supplication? It's a cry for God to intervene. A cry for God to move, a cry of desperation, and it hurts inside to the point that we go beyond the status quo of what we've done before, and we seek after him. It's a spirit of brokenness, of anguish and distress. It's to be moved by the Spirit of God in relation to conviction and brokenness rather than indifference, compromise, and passivity. Leonard Ravenhill said, few of us can remember the last time we missed our bed for a night of waiting upon God for a world-shaking revival. It's like you're grabbed in the inside. You see, God, you need to move. It's like the Welsh revival where they prayed, God, bend us. Do something. Work, do whatever it takes to bring this world to you. And this is where anguish is, and this is where brokenness is found. It's way more than casual Christianity. It rings in your heart. It haunts you. It causes you to pray. It causes you to fast. It causes you to take time seeking his face. And that's what we want to see. I like the story of David Wilkerson. He gives this. He tells this story of how his church started in New York, and he's the one that wrote The Cross and the Swift Blade, and he's the one that started Teen Challenge. He tells a story of being a pastor in a small rural church, and he's saying, and he's praying his heart, God, move, and he says that he experienced brokenness for the lost world, and at one point he goes for a rally in New York City in the 50s, and then he says, there's a great difference between anguish and concern. And he tells this story here. I remember when he says that to his congregation many, many years ago, many, many years after, he says, and I remember breaking down. He talks of himself when he was in the heart of the city. And he says, and I remember breaking down, and I didn't matter, and it didn't matter the crowd going by as I sat on a fire hydrant type on the side of a building and wept. And I was in anguish. I was in anguish 4 blocks from on Broadway where the church is, weeping and crying and wailing. I wasn't looking for a ministry. I wasn't looking to build a church. I was feeling God's pain for the lost city. I look at this and I'm saying, when things are born in anguish, when things are born in brokenness, this is where God steps in and this is where God moves. There's a difference between anguish and concern. We have this example in Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 1. The story goes, you know the story of Nehemiah. We preached on it a few years ago, where Israel was in captivity for 70 years. And now it was time to go back to the promised land based on the prophetic words that were mentioned. And so there's three main exodus that left Babylon to come into the promised land. And so they're heading back to Jerusalem to find that Jerusalem is a mess. And in verse 1 of chapter 1, it says, in the 16th year of King Artaxerxes' reign, I was in the fortress of Susa. Anani, one of my brothers, came to visit me with some other men who had just arrived from Judah. I asked them about the Jews who had returned there from captivity and about how things were going in Jerusalem. Then he said to me, things are not going well for those who returned to the province of Judah. They are in great trouble and disgrace. The city, the wall of Jerusalem has been torn down and the gates has been destroyed by fire. Look what it says in verse 4. When I heard this, I sat down and wept. In fact, for days I mourned, fasted, prayed for God to the God of heaven. Like Jerusalem was not doing well. And we look at situation in our lives that might not be doing well. Like I said earlier, it might be your marriage. It might be your relationship with your kids. It might be your personal life. It might be your business, whatever it is. So what do? Is you turn to God. We find Nehemiah in anguish for his people. Anguish for what was happening to Jerusalem. And you find a difference between Nehemiah and his brothers. His brother and the delegation from Jerusalem, they had concern. They had a concern. But concern doesn't change too much, but anguish does. And the difference between the brother and Nehemiah was that Nehemiah brought it to another level. It let him reach his heart, and it brought anguish and brokenness in his heart. And it caused him to pray and seek the Lord's face. And so what we need in the church today, when it comes to walking in freedom, there needs to be brokenness. There needs to be anguish. Where we're filled with anguish when it comes to our personal sins. When we don't live our sins and we're living our life, you might be here, you're caught in sin, and say, you continue to live the way you want. You want to have anguish. You have a wedge between you and your wife. You want to have this anguish. You got this wedge between you and your kids. You want to have this anguish in your heart. You look at your neighbor, you look around, you're going shopping and you see the cashier, you want to have anguish. You see, when your heart is gripped, when your heart is moved, that you're not just doing life, but you are caught inside with the cause of the Father. Because what happened to Nehemiah, he received a download of the heart of Father for his people. And he could not stay still, he could not stay quiet. It was burning inside of him. And that's what we need. So when we talk about walking in freedom, to see people walk in freedom and for us to walk in the freedom that God has called us, there's a need for sorrow. There's a need for anguish. Look at what it says in Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 6. Listen to my prayer. He's talking to you. This is a prayer of Nehemiah. I'm just going to read a short portion of it. Listen to my prayer. Look down and see me praying night and day for your people Israel. Night and day. I confess that we have sinned against you. Yes, even my own family, I have sinned. So he takes ownership. I have sinned. Our family has sinned. Verse 7, we have sinned terribly by not obeying the commands, decrees, regulation that you gave us through your servant Moses. So you see him just pouring his heart and be broken. Just broken. Like the first part, you can see him when he heard the good news, he just sat down and wept. And wept. It was not an emotional moment or a hype. It was not a flash. It was a profound sorrow and deep sense of brokenness for his people. And you look at chapter 2, verse 2, so 4 months came in between verse chapter 1 to chapter 2, verse 2. And so it says, so the king asked Nehemiah, because he was serving wine to the king, and he went to see Nehemiah. Well, so the king asked me, why does your face look so sad when you're not ill? That can be nothing but sadness of heart. And I was very much afraid, because he wasn't supposed to serve the king with sadness. He was supposed to serve the king with joy, and he was, his life and death was really in the hand of the king. But what happened is that he had a burden on his heart. It was heavy on his heart, and I believe that conviction of the Holy Spirit wants us to move from concern to anguishness. Like, you know, when I was preparing this, I wasn't too sure if I was going to preach it, because I felt it was for me. See, there was this debate in the last 2 months on this topic, because I felt it was for me. I was saying, God, I don't want to be a pastor that is filled with concern. I want to be a pastor that's filled with anguish. I'm broken for the state of the church, broken for my community, where it's in my bones, where it burns inside of me, that it's not just going from A to B and to do life, but it's to be caught by the reality of my state where I need God and the state of those around me that needs God, you know? Sometimes we shut the door of our hearts and we choose to keep it superficial. We allow a hint of concern to enter, but not enough to disrupt our lifestyle. We're afraid of where it might lead us, afraid of the potential outcomes, afraid of what it may cost us. I believe that we made our Christian walk so comfortable, we're making it so easy as possible. And I think it's wrong. I think we're missing out on what God wants to do. And God wants to bring us in a place of brokenness and in a place where his care is our care. What breaks his heart breaks ours. And you find Nehemiah chapter 2, verse B, he says, I was very much afraid because his life was on the line. But I said to the king, may the king live forever. Why should my face not look sad when the city where my fathers are buried lies in ruins and its gates have been destroyed by fire? Like, I'm looking at this and I say, God, make us Nehemiahs that are broken inside for what is around us and for our state where we need God. Well, I know that I can't make myself be anguished. It has to be a move of God upon my heart. But what I can do is I can say, God, give me your heart. God, move me in a new way or in a fresh way. Bring me back to the place where it matters. It really matters. That where we pray, break my heart with the things that breaks yours. It's I need to have a godly sorrow for my sin that leads me to repentance. I need to have brokenness for those around me that do not know Jesus. Hell is a real place. And as we're going forward, we understand that things are spinning out of control. And things are changing so rapidly when it comes to the landscape. And there's so much souls in play. And the church needs to be gripped inside with sorrow for the call that he has placed upon our lives. Like I said earlier, like, we made God fit our worldview and we try to see God fit in our lifestyle. And that's not the call. That's not what we want to see. What we need to see is to see God move us with what moves him. Amen? Probably a hard message. You're saying, wow, that was a hard message. But I really believe that anguish is necessary. Anguish is necessary and brokenness is necessary to see freedom in our lives and freedom in your life. Maybe you're here this morning and you're walking in sin. Have sorrow, brokenness. Don't mask it. Don't pretend it's not there. Surrender. Break in God's presence. Let it go. Maybe you're here this morning and you're doing life and you don't have feelings, you don't have a heart for those around you. Say, God, break my heart. Maybe you have relationships that are not healthy and you say, oh, well, it is what it is. But may you go in your prayer closet and pour your heart and break down before God. Mourn before God. Fast before God. Seek his face. Do like Jacob. I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. See, there needs to be this in our lives. Like, we made Christianity such a comfortable place. And we see the fruit of it. We got to go back to this place of brokenness and a desire for God to move. Imagine if all of us in this place and all of us watching online, there would be this brokenness. It would be unreal what would happen. My prayer is that you would leave today and that you would embrace agony, not agony, but anguish and brokenness. Amen. I would ask you to stand. Father God, we thank you so much for your love and for your affection for us. Like I said, if you're here this morning and you are living in sin, bring it to the Lord. Surrender your heart to the Lord. Maybe you're here this morning and you got bondages in your marriage. Break down before God. Call upon him. Fast and pray. Maybe you lost sight of the need of the world and you're just going from A to B and taking care of business. May you pray, God, I want your transfusion. I want your heart. I want you inside of me. I want to have a heart for those around me. Father, I just pray that you would go beyond my words this morning and that you would reveal the thought that you are looking for a broken people that seeks after you, that desires you, that understand that you are the solution and the key for all that we face and all that is before us. You'll be glorified, I pray in Jesus' name.
Thanks for listening. If there's anything we can do to help you along in your journey, email prayer@gmchurch.ca. If you'd like to see what's coming up at Gospel Mission Church or learn more about us, visit gmchurch.ca.